Rob Mosley's here early. I should have known. A true journalist is punctual, knows there's going to be a press conference, and shows up on time. Throw on the headset. We're going to do a segment in an eighth with Rob. What's up, Rob?
How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing good. How are things over at the athletic department now? Kind of slowing down?
Yeah, it's a strange time of year, you know? Like, we're used to softball still being playing, but with the transition they went through, they're not playing. And baseball obviously came to an end, and then no track meets because the Hayward Field reconstruction. So,
oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, usually we're cranking through mid to late June, and this year it's like, well, I get, you know, the we show up to the baseball game last Saturday thinking, you know, this was going to be the last event of the year really for us locally, and I'm not traveling with track next week, so that was going to be it. But then that got rained out, so it was like, well, I guess we're done.
And I was listening to Casey Martin on with Joey, so he traveled like to follow one player.
Right. Yeah. Both golf teams qualified and didn't qualify the team, but qualified an individual. So back to back weeks, we had a kid playing in the NCAA championships as an individual. Kathleen Scavo, our on the women's team, had a top 25 finish. Casey's kid Edwin Yee didn't.
So I guess whoever does the budget's like, well, maybe this doesn't have fans enthused, but I don't have to write tickets for checks for plane tickets and all that.
That's what I love about you, man. You always see the bright side of things.
First of all, and it's kind of the theme of my life, I'm kind of geared towards doing as little as I can and getting the most I possibly can.
Love it. I've spent my entire life trying to set the bar low so I can exceed expectations.
We come in every week and we look at the schedule, especially when we do baseball. It's like, come on, 1 o'clock game or 2 o'clock game, kick our asses off early.
Yep.
As we welcome you back to Crunch Time, Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com, at Duck Football, and at GoDucks Mosley.
Yep.
Am I doing okay there?
Yep. You know about the other one, but we don't have to talk about that because that's right.
Right.
No, we argue about politics.
That's personal, yeah, exactly. And we don't want the cat to get out of the bag. So I was thinking in the various sports, you have a favorite team. Obviously, you're a Penguins fan.
Yep.
So when your team is out of it,
yep.
Do you pick up? Do you check out? Do you just wait till the finals? What's your level of engagement?
Usually with hockey, it takes me like the next series. Like, I usually sit out the next series because I have to just stew. And then I'll re-engage after that. I'm definitely rooting against whoever eliminated the Penguins.
Right. Well, they got theirs.
Yeah. The Penguins actually had a chance to do something no one had ever done. So there's all – the Athletic had a story about this. I mean, there's always a team that loses to a team that loses to a team that loses to a team that loses in the finals. So basically, a team that beat somebody, that nobody who beat them went on to win anything. So basically, they're the 16th best team in the 16-team playoff field. The Penguins had a chance to do something no one has ever done because they got swept by the Islanders, who got swept by the Hurricanes, who got swept by the Bruins. If the Bruins had gotten swept, the Penguins would have been the first team ever to be sweep victims at the hands of sweep victims at the hands of sweep victims at the hands of sweep victims. So I was actually sort of morbidly rooting for that just because, you know, it's history.
The odds
it's,
are ridiculous.
Yeah, totally.
It'd be astronomical. Totally.
But the Bruins ruined that by winning their first game. But this year the Penguins were, you know, not that many people listening care too much about the Pittsburgh Penguins, but they were pretty mediocre all year. Their first round elimination was not a surprise at all. So I got over it really, really quick, and I've been just enjoying the rest of the playoffs as a normal human being. Rather than a
you don't have that pit
fanatic
feeling in the pit of
exactly,
your stomach,
exactly.
Especially when it gets to sudden death,
exactly.
I wanted to start with George Horton because it's so rare when you sit here and get a million opinions on everything.
Yeah.
That it seems to see how accurate this is. The consensus was, yeah, it's the right thing to do, part ways. But it's like every single solitary person I spoke with is just. It's gut-wrenching because, the probably 30 times I've had Horton on the show, I mean, he's just such a guy of character, genuine, and it's just like, we know it's right, but, this sucks.
No, and he's still around the office, you know, these last few days, which I think, you know, reflects one that, there was sort of a mutual understanding here. You know, I think in a perfect world, coach would love to play out the last mutual option year. But I think, you know, everybody sort of determined, hey, if, you know, there was a chance to make a break this year. He's still got time left to maybe go get another job. you know, I don't think he's done coaching. I'm not sure how old he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's still around the office, and it's like it's just a parade of people coming in by his office to just say, hey, thanks and good luck. And, you know, I was joking with somebody the other day. We kind of joke around the office that an athletic department is jocks and nerds. You know, you've got the jocks who are the coaches and the players, and the nerds who are guys like us and like in communications and, you know, the IT people and all that. And, you know, it's not like back when high school when you know, the jocks beat up the nerds, but that barrier did not exist with him. Anybody who was around his program felt like part of his program. He genuinely connected and made an effort to connect with everybody that came around him. So yeah, it's making it hard to say goodbye, and he's having to say a lot of goodbyes.
I'm sure.
He connected with so many people around the community.
You know, another thing is I remember when after the 2016 football season, when they were talking about then Coach Health.
Yep.
And what were you going to do, and does he deserve another year? He's just to a national championship game. And somebody brought it up here. They were like, yeah, but did you notice the dip in attendance?
Yeah.
And I noticed this year, I don't think they had, except for the OSU series, like even the place was half filled.
No.
Is it, as you know, we were joking earlier about, you know, look at the financial end. Is there any way to just eliminate how harsh of a reality that is? If people aren't showing up,
that's
an issue.
That's all part of the equation that the people in the administrators in the corner office have to think about. And it's, you know, I'm kind of a guy in my position is kind of insulated from that.
Sure.
But you have to appreciate that. Yeah. Those are factored into decisions that people who get paid a lot more than I do have to make. And yeah, there was this lack of enthusiasm that, unfortunately, you know, I thought this year's team was really fun to watch, you know, and there was actually a moment, you know, the two games that were played against UCLA were really competitive
games.
And there was a moment late in one of the games when it's close and we're trying to come back and the dugout is just fired up. And one of the kids turned to the other and was like, can you imagine once we get this place filled up, kind of how crazy the environment will be? But it was even recognition from them that, hey,
wow,
you know, this is just the enthusiasm not there. And I think this narrative just really took hold about the style that we played, that, you know, we were pitching first and, you know, get a guy on, bunt him over, get him in, and try to win 1-0.
Station.
Yeah, that applied certainly at certain times over the last 11 years. But this year's team was not that. I mean, this was
the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, this year's team could hit up and down the lineup. You know, obviously, you know, fairly top heavy, but what batting order isn't? You know, when you guys like Spencer Steer, who's a pretty special player, you know, that's going to be the case. But you know, even our number nine hitter most of the year was Max Foxcroft, second baseman, who's just a pest. I mean, he might hit 180, but I think he led the Pac-12 in sack bunts, you know, so there was still that ability to do that. And he always worked counts. He could get on base. You know, our catcher, Cam Campbell, hit, you know, 2-something, but his on-base percentage was like around 400. I mean, he just found a way to get on. So even the guys at the bottom of the order whose batting averages didn't wow you, could have, you know, good at-bats that, you know, pass the bat and keep it moving. But the pitching just, you know, the tone was set with Kenyon Yovan only being able to go that first appearance at the beginning of the year and only pitch 2 innings, you know, and just the domino effect when you lose your Friday guy. And he's such a leader. I mean, he was by far the heart and soul in terms of leadership, particularly for the pitching staff, but along with Steer of the whole team, that it was crippling and it was unfortunate.
And literally of all the years,
right,
when
right.
they busted out the bats.
Right. If you know, and I think that was what a lot of us were clinging to, like, hey, you know, maybe that makes sense to try to go one more year and see if maybe fortune can shine a little brighter on the pitching staff and hope the hitting is still there. But, you know, I think for a lot of reasons, you know, that just the decision was made to say, hey, let's go separate ways here.
You know, there's another program that seems like they're about to take over the world, Kelly Graves the women. I mean, obviously, it was just so much fun to watch them. I mean, 3 years from the Elite Eight, Final Four. And so the question was, you know, Adi Gildon was meant a lot to the program.
Totally.
She's gone, and obviously with my take going to the WNBA, and it's like, who's going to replace her? What do they get? They got who?
Right.
Minyan Moore of USC, who I had a vague remembrance of seeing her play, but then you looked at it, and it's like, how huge of a get was that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if you were looking at this team and looking at potential holes, there weren't that many. Obviously, this is a Final Four team. But you could say, hey, they could afford to get a little more athletic out on the perimeter. And particularly defensively, losing Maite as an on-ball defender. Yep. Sabrina's a lot of things, but she's not the quickest man-to-man defender. Well, now you got somebody, Mignon Moore, who can defend, you know, maybe the other team's most athletic player. And also, if a team's really trying to attack Sabrina defensively, Mignon can break him down and do some things offensively as well. And then, you know, it also wasn't the biggest team. And, you know, unfortunately we saw that exposed in the Baylor matchup where they had the Twin Towers.
Right, beasts.
And, you know, the hope on this end was, you know, playing Erin Boley at the four, she's able to extend them out, make some shots. And she made a couple shots, but I just think team-wide, you know, you wanted to make more threes than they did twos and, you know, came up short by a couple of threes. Well, now you got Niara Sabali, who can be that, who can match, you know, who could match up with a team like that, where you have, if you have her and Ruthie, you know, and that's just this year's team. And you can see, you know, I can't get into them specifically, but the recruits there, you know, the recruiting continues to go well for this program year over year. And it looks like they're rebuilding or reloading. Sorry. So, yeah, it just, that's, they're pretty exciting. I think when you look back on this past year, obviously, that they're kind of the headliner, and certainly looking forward to next year. You know, they could be that again.
Yeah, you just get a sense with the fans that you know, they're counting the days already. And once upon a time, not that long ago, that was unfathomable. I was talking with Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com. So we mentioned your Penguins. You also like the Dodgers, A's. I've never really heard you much on an NFL team, but I know you're a bit of a Warriors fan.
Yeah.
But
I grew up a 49er fan and a Warriors fan, grew up in the Bay Area. In both cases, I wasn't a big college guy growing up, so Cal Stanford didn't do a lot for me.
Right.
My mom went to Cal for a couple years, but she didn't finish there, so it's not like we were a Cal household.
Right.
We definitely weren't a Stanford household.
You weren't a baby bear?
None of us were smart enough there. So it was all pro sports. And, you know, the 49ers were so good in the 80s when I was growing up. And the Warriors, you know, the Run TMC years.
Fun.
And, yeah, after that. But as soon as I got here in the college environment, and particularly once I started working in it, like, I'd probably rather watch a Penguin preseason game than, like, this Warrior playoff game tonight.
Whoa.
It's just the NBA game doesn't appeal to me a whole lot. Yeah.
So when I shouldn't have been looking for you to come in with your colors. Do you own any Warrior gear?
No, I think I do. I think I have like a sweatshirt or something. I have my nephew's going to be visiting in a couple weeks. Last time I was up at the Nike employee store, I got him a jersey. So I do have a jersey. I couldn't fit in it.
or
if I could, it would look pretty silly. Yeah,
a smedium.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, some men's hoops.
Yep.
So when I heard that Kenny Wooten and Pritchard were testing the waters, I'll be honest, it never even occurred to me that Wooten was going to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, they were talking about 70-some-odd underclassmen in this draft, plus the foreigners, plus the seniors, only 60 get drafted. I mean, his athleticism is obscene.
Yeah.
I get that, but were you surprised? What do you make of him thinking, you know, now's my time to go into the NBA?
Yeah, I think overall we were like, hey, under these new rules where you can have an advisor and talk to agents and all that, absolutely, you know, go get as much information as you can.
Sure.
You know, it's like they're still working out, they're still practicing, you know, doing workouts back here when they're in town, still going to class, you know, because they got to stay eligible in case they do decide to come back. I think with Kenny, we all thought he's freakish enough in his athleticism that, you know, all it takes is one team to tell him at a workout, dude, we love what you do. We think it fits what we want to do. You know, the other 29 teams might say, we want nothing to do with you. But if you do go to the one workout or hear from one team, hey, we'd give you a shot. You know, that's a lot of money potentially. And you know, that's a reality. I mean, there's no sport, men's basketball is so different than every other sport in the athletic department, and that, yeah, I mean, you know, every single guy, most of the football players come in thinking they're going to the NFL.
Right.
Pretty much every single scholarship men's basketball player thinks he's going to the NBA.
Oh, really?
And you know, they think they're probably going to go sooner rather than later. So, and you know, it's why you see this. So the transfers, I think, because guys want to get minutes because they just feel like if they have exposure.
Right. Especially every game's on TV.
They'll prove it to a team and then they'll get picked. Yeah. So I think, yeah, you learn quickly not to be surprised by some of this stuff. That it's Men's basketball is just off in its own world.
I never begrudge anybody to go get paid. Nope. You know what one of my favorite comebacks from fans are? It's like, well, he's only going to be making the minimum. I'm like, yeah, that $540,000 a year.
Yeah, the Penguins just signed some defenseman for the minimum next year, and the NHL minimum is like $750,000. You know, to be the number eight defenseman who sits up in the press box 50 games a year, you know?
It's like the guy who gets to the third string or second string quarterback who puts their hat on backwards and makes $800,000 a year.
I tell people, you know, if I'd been a sophomore in college and the New York Times had been like, hey, we want to hire you to, you know, write about baseball for us, I'd have been like, are you sure? I don't need my diploma? Done.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be breaking my lease, college landlord. Sorry.
Long time ago, somebody did a parallel to that for guys who leave early and be like, you know, if your son was going to an Ivy League school and studying science or research and Dow Chemical came to them and said, screw this, we're going to make you $500,000 a year and expenses and all, it'd be like, the parents would be like, and why are we still having this conversation?
Right. Yeah, it's to prepare you to be a professional. And if somebody does have a legitimate professional aspiration and ability and Oregon Athletics has been the platform to help them get there, then we've done our job, you know, help a kid prepare for their professional life. I mean, I know, you know, some folks in academics, you know, might blanch at that. And I understand that college athletics I will say, if you scrapped the American university system and restarted it from scratch, athletics probably wouldn't play the role it does. It's you know, become this thing culturally that I don't think anybody would have predicted 80, 90 years ago. It is what it is, you know? And so you try to do the best you can and make the most of it. And I think anybody who does fundraising for the university on the academic side would tell you the value of athletics, and having guys that go pro does that. It helps with that, you know, burnishes that reputation and enhances that. You know, it gets more applicants to the university, which is more people paying out-of-state tuition and even international students and things like that. And it's, you know, it's all a good thing.
Yeah, I learned my daughter-in-law, Betsy, works for the U of O. She does recruiting for the people in the arts and the master's program. And, you know, you hear some of the numbers, and you're like, I would never have given that a second thought in a million years as just a fan observing from the outside. All right, I got to ask you one football question.
Yeah, far away.
And this, you might be the only one who can give a legitimate answer to this, because you hear from thousands and thousands probably over the course of a year.
Yeah.
And we talked earlier some fluctuations in attendance from various sports. So if you think back to how insane people were when it seemed like every year in the conference hunt, in the major bowl hunt, from what happened last year, winning 9 games, now crystal ball back, what's happening with recruiting, how would you gauge the passion meter of the fans looking forward to this upcoming season? Because I'm getting a little more warm than it is even the last 2 years.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think ticket sales are reflected in that. I think there's some cautious optimism that things are trending back in the right direction that way. You know, we're probably where we were at in maybe like 2008, 2009. Like, hey, could be headed for some big things around here. Some, you know, you gotta, some things have to fall right, and you got to take advantage on the field and come through. You know, and I do think that's sort of, if you're looking for a big picture narrative this season, this is kind of a put up or shut up year. You know, like the foundation has been laid to get back to being the program this was just a few years ago, and that Mario Cristobal has talked about wanting to make it. But, you know, that Auburn game, I mean, how much of a bellwether game is that?
Wow.
Just for kind of where this season's going to go, where the trajectory of the program is going to be. Is this going to be that, you know, a nationally prominent program again that it was only 3-4 years ago? You know, so much of the narrative about the Pac-12 conference and about this Oregon football team will be determined by what happens in Arlington that day. So it's the buildup to that's going to be amazing, insane, fun. You know, looking back on the last Auburn game, but so much is on the line. And so again, kind of where we were 10 years ago, it's people are like,
anticipation,
this could be pretty good, but you know, still waiting for the proof a little bit. And there's definitely chances to prove it this year.
Well, nothing like an SEC team to show up.
No doubt. And what the fun part about it too is, I think Auburn fans probably feel like they're in the same boat. You know, I mean, they've kind of been treading water a little bit for a few years, and you know, you hear grumblings about Gus Malzahn, and so here's another. You know, Oregon still has that name recognition nationally,
Absolutely.
Even though, you know, for all I think those of us locally have you know, the roller coaster the last few years have felt like. I think nationally the name recognition is still there. So for them, you know, it'd be a big deal too. So kind of the same things on the line for both programs in that game.
Yeah, somebody texted me the other day, today, 99 days. And yeah. I'm like, oh, you people are nuts, yeah. But it's a beautiful yeah. thing.
Well, hey, like we were talking about earlier, you know, kind of everything else is done now. So it's right, like, you know, right. with apologies to the track and field folks that are going to, you know, the national championships next week. And, you know, the Cravon Gillespies and the Jess Hull, there's still some chances to do some pretty spectacular things. But, you know, this is a football mad
it's
community.
It's Oregon football. Who's
for sure. Who? So, yeah, I totally understand that some people are already looking ahead to that.
All right, Rob, appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
GoDucks.com and his multiple Twitter accounts.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure. We'll take
Anytime.
A break. We'll be back up and wrap up Crunch Time 95.3 The Score.